Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
You all look wonderful today. Amen. Audacity, God bless you for that. Can we celebrate God for our Jesus band? Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, so let's quickly run through our teaching for tonight, where we left off some weeks ago. I'm going to wrap up the series on growing faith and jump into another one today. Is that okay? Are you ready for it? So tonight is teaching time. All right, classroom time. So you are in a school this evening. Are we together? All right, so get ready and get your notepads and your writing materials, whatever, as we delve into God's Word. Praise the Lord. So after I'm done with growing faith, we'll move to understanding the work of Christ. That's going to be the topic of the series that I'll be running for the next few weeks. Understanding the work of Christ. Amen. All right. We said from 2 Thessalonians, that's our text, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. That's the text. We said that the faith we speak of in the New Testament is the faith of Christ, or faith in Christ. It is not faith isolated by itself. So when we say growing faith is growing in your knowledge of your faith in Christ, or the sufficiency of Christ, what Christ has done or accomplished on the cross of Calvary. The more you understand that, the more it affects your perspective through the scripture towards life, people, your mandate, your call, your vocation, whatever it is that you stand to deal with. So it's important that we have a good understanding of what Christ has done. So 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, let's read it together, one to go. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Let's say it together, say, my faith grows exceedingly. So my prayer through this teaching is that our faith grows. That is my prayer, all right? And not just growing, but our faith grows exceedingly. Somebody say amen. We shared during the TSP retreat, I think that was 2 weeks ago, that the TSP vision says to be a leading influence in the current generation, establishing the excellence of God's kingdom in all sectors through Spirit-inspired leadership. And we said that that vision is speaking to your mandate as touching soul winning, discipleship, and displaying the glory of God. To be a TSP visionaire, or one who leaves the TSP vision, we're not necessarily saying, which is not bad, but let's not mistake, I'll come back to what we're not necessarily saying, but let's not mistake the means for the end, all right? There is a means, but there is the end, and the end is the focus of the TSP vision. So when we say to be a leading influence in the current generation, I want you to do well in your sector to the point whereby you assume a place of influence, either through leadership or either through your work or your efficiency, as the case may be, but to the intent that men come to Christ. So that's the bottom line. So the means is you found in the space where you are to being in leadership assignments, leadership roles, influential positions, either by appointments or financially or whatever the case might be, or in the aspect of your skill, your knowledge, and you using that for the expansion of the gospel or the expansion of the kingdom by bringing people to Christ. So when that influence is used for people coming to Christ, that is the TSP vision. I hope that's clear. So my prayer is that Every TSP member will find his footing very strongly and rooted in the gospel. You know, because you need to understand the gospel and you need to understand what the gospel is not. My wife was saying something very important to me, something that I felt was very, very intelligent and important. She was listening to something online. And you know how you can scroll and you listen to messages, people who are teaching, different teachings online and all of that. And she said to me that she has spent an amount of time listening to certain messages and has not heard Christ in any of those messages. Are you following what I'm saying? Has not heard Christ in any of those messages. Has not heard the gospel in any of those messages. You see, so nowadays it's looking as if to say the church is that organization that gives you good advice. Are you following what I'm saying? So the church, advice can come from the church. However, the church is the ground and pillar of truth. And the truth we emphasize is the work of Christ. So why are we going to be called a church if all we are giving is what you can learn from a business school or what you can learn from a relationship coach? Or I'm not talking about, I just preached on relationship, amen? So don't think Pastor Phil has somebody in mind. Calm down, because you don't know what I'm saying, so don't assume you know. But I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. So the most important message the church is meant to be the deliverer of is the message of what Christ has done. Is the message of the cross. So when we don't hear that anymore, you can go through your phone, and I'm telling you the truth, and a lot of pastors don't want to be categorized, you know, as people who preach the gospel, because there is a false sense of understanding of this gospel. There are people who think they understand the gospel, but they really don't understand the gospel because of certain misconceptions that the gospel has brought to people's minds. That is the problem. That's where we are now. You know, when you don't understand something, you would say what the thing is not saying. That's the problem. That's what we're doing. So our assignment is to bring clarity on what the gospel truly is saying and what the gospel is not saying in our generation, so people's hearts can really be open to really receive the gospel. Amen. So that's what she said to me. And I said, what you said is very true. And if people are intelligent enough to be able to decipher what is Christ and what is not Christ, do you understand? I don't devalue good advice. I don't devalue applicational teachings that come from the church. I don't devalue, there's a place for it. But the foremost and most important message that the church delivers, which Paul calls the whole counsel of God, is the message of the gospel, is why Christ died. So that's why I'm going to start a series on understanding the work of Christ. Amen, somebody. So that we really understand why Christ really came to die. Why did he come to die? You see, anything you pray for that a Muslim can get is not the most important thing in the Bible. Anything you pray for that an unbeliever can get is not the most important thing in the Bible. That's why when I teach about Thanksgiving, I say that the most important thing you thank God for is your salvation. You see, so if you're not grounded as a believer, you'll just be dancing up and down. You'll be dancing up and down by what seems to be articulate, what seems to be making sense. What is what makes sense? How do you define what makes sense? Praise God. How do you define what makes sense? How do you define what is deep? Like I said to you, if it's not Christ, it's not deep. Praise God. You don't need the Bible for advice or for counsel. You can get counsel from an old man in your village. You can get counsel from an unbelieving person. So what we cannot get from anywhere other than, I was reading the scripture today, I think somewhere in Acts, where the apostles were apprehended, and Peter said something that there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. That means salvation can never be found in any other than Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? So we're going to go straight into growing faith. And then Reading 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, we read that their faith grows, yeah? We saw how they are growing, their faith, it was testified that their faith grows. And I said that growing faith is directly connected to your understanding of what Christ has done. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2. If you can use the Amplified version, that would be nice. Romans chapter 12 and from verse 1 to 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God. Do you see this now? In view of what? What is the mercies of God? What is the summary of the mercies of God? The cross. That's what summarizes the mercy of God. So in view of this cross, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies. That's why decisions without the work of Christ will never work. Because that is willpower. Do you remember how many times you have said you will never do something and you did it? So willpower is good, but it only lasts to an extent. Are you following what I'm saying? It is when you are helped by the work of Christ, when the Holy Spirit steps into your decisions, that's when it makes sense. So as a New Testament believer, you must be intelligent enough to see this. By the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presented all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, that is this age, fashioned after the adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may what? Prove. You see that word there now? So that you may prove. So that you may prove. All right? So that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So in the proving of the perfect will of God, we see that your faith grows because you are putting things to practice. You are putting things to test. You are putting things to work. That is what it means to prove. All right, what is acceptable? What is the perfect will of God? And when someone is in this realm where you begin to prove God's will, there your faith is growing. But that happens as a result of viewing God's mercies. So you see how the gospel is connected to you proving. It is the deeper you grow in the knowledge of the gospel, that's how you learn how to prove things. You learn how to prove your character. You learn how to prove the word of God. You learn how to prove what it means to be patient. You learn how to prove what it means to love. You learn how to prove what it means to evangelize. It is in view of the mercies of God you prove things. Can I say that again? It is in view of the mercies of God you what? Prove things. Let's say that together. It is in view of the mercies of God I prove things. So the deeper you get in the mercies of God, the easier it is. The direct result is that you start to prove things. Amen, somebody. So we said, number one, you make. Let me hear from you. What's your number one? What's your number two? Let's keep going. Signs of a growing faith. Talk to me. Number one, let's go. One. Two. Not everybody's talking. That means some people are not, you know, following us. All right, three, keep. Yeah. What are you saying? Good, four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. 10. 11. 12. That's the one we did that, you know. Then 13. That's where we stopped. All right, so number 13 is better control of the tongue. Better control of what? Of the tongue. When you are growing in your faith, it will be evident by a good control of your tongue. I almost said thong. By a good control of your tongue. Praise God, somebody. Say with me, say, as my faith grows, my tongue gets better. As my faith grows, I speak graciously. Now, let me tell you something. One of the major signs that someone is growing in the faith is when the tongue becomes better. Have you seen someone with a very quick tongue? With a sharp tongue. Now, or maybe you are, that's why you're not even answering me. If you've seen someone with a sharp tongue before, it is not a function of just the tongue, it's a function of the heart, the mind. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So there must be a work of the heart that reflects in the mouth. You know, when your heart is transformed, it will be difficult to say some things. Even if you used to say them before. Talk to me, somebody. So one of the ways you know someone is growing is when his tongue is affected. That's a sign of a believer whose faith is growing. I'll show you a few scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart what? Grace to the hearers. So, if what you're saying doesn't bring grace, what is grace? Okay, let's use a different translation so we can see. Let's try NIV version. NIV, New International Version. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others. So it is helpful to the intent that people are built. If what you're saying is not building, then you are not, it's not a sign that you're growing. If what you're saying doesn't build, are you with me, someone? If what you're saying doesn't build, it's not a sign that you're growing. All right? Building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So, if what you're saying doesn't benefit anybody, but you just want to talk because you just feel like saying something. You know, there's a difference between I feel like saying something and what I say would help. Am I making sense? Okay. This will help you even when you get married, for those of you who are single. And for those who are also married, it will help you as well. That you learn how to speak so you build your partners, you build your children, you build the people who are around you. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Let's see the TPT version, if there is. The Holy Spirit, I never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. Yeah, I think that's the reason why I said we should look at translations. Because when you say a word is a word of grace, it means that word has graced someone through something. Grace is like you have found help. So if your word doesn't make someone find help, that word is not a graceful word. Are you with me now? So one of the ways you know that someone is growing in the faith is that his words are seasoned. His words are seasoned. You know, as a man, as a woman, your words must be seasoned. A lot of people speak rashly, recklessly because of their backgrounds. That's the truth. You know, you see all kinds of people who say things. It's because of the family they come from. And you know, when you grow in a house where sarcasm is the order of the day, who understands what I'm saying? Where, you know, sarcasm is how we communicate, right? For example, let's just take for example. You say good morning. The reply they give you to good morning, say before you're not good. Or, you know, so when sarcasm becomes the order of the day, right? I'm not talking about harmless sarcasm, because sometimes sarcasm is just play. But you know, when sarcasm becomes very intrusive, very controlling, very direct, very obnoxious, that's a problem. You see, that's a result. There's also a good balance to everything. There are people whose backgrounds never help them in the way they speak. Now, let's see the Amplified Version. What does it say? The Amplified Version, very quickly. Let no foul, let's read it together, one to go. Or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk, ever. Tell your neighbor, I'm telling you today now. Let it never come out of your mouth. Ever, 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 ever. You know, but even by mistake. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even by mistake, don't say it. You know, sometimes we're pushed to say some things, but you don't have to. I was telling someone something. I said, I think this was during the couples night. I said, when someone says, I did this out of pressure, I do not agree all the time. Because there are some people who are on that same level of pressure and are not doing what you're doing. So the problem is you, not the pressure. If a man fails in the day of adversity, it's not because the adversity is great. Let me translate. It's not because the pressure is too much, but your strength is weak. So there are some people who will be in where you are. You will say, come and sit down where you normally sit down. I'm not used to you there. Mm-mm. Translocate. Come back. There are some people, when I'm preaching, I just like them to be around the front row. You are one of them. Come and sit down there. Come and sit down there. Praise the Lord. Clap for Auntie if she sits. Yes. Praise the Lord. You say, Kai, pastor, now pressure. You know how sometimes you say foul languages uncontrollably? Yeah. That can be by virtue of association, who you used to roll with while you were in school. You know, you say the F word. A minister of God said the F word by my side. Sometime, someplace, all right? I don't know if the person is a member of this church. Said the F word around me. And then I looked at him. And then immediately, he remembered that, Kai, I'm standing with Pastor Phil, I've messed up. You know, sometimes you just forget and you say the F word. All right? You say the F word. Now, that person was just young in the faith. But much later, I never heard that statement again from that person. So that's a sign that the person grew over time. You know, so if you are used to saying certain things, you must be sure that whatever comes out of your mouth must build, must edify. Are we together? All right. Let's do one more. Have we finished reading this translation? Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. Come on, amen. Those are the only things that come out of your mouth. As is fitting to the need and the occasion. So let me put it this way. If you don't have what fits the need or the occasion, just be quiet. But when you know you have something to say that would edify, okay? And mind you, edification many times can be in the form of correction, okay? So it doesn't mean that what you have to say must always sound sweet. Because what some of you are hearing now is you are hearing something I am not saying. It's not every sometimes. The Lord loves those he chastens. And when he gives you a chastening word, it is a correcting word, but it is correction in love. That's the difference. Because I have found out that some of my children, when I correct them, they don't know how to take it. Because they thought love is always sweet words. Niceness is not a fruit of the Spirit. Love is always sweet. Love is not always sweet words. Sometimes love is going to come very strong and tough. But what makes it in love is that the intention is to build you. That's what makes it right. Amen. But many other times, encouraging words are also said. All right? So, blessing and give grace, God's favor to those who hear it. Let's do one more translation. Let's do NLT. Let's do NLT. Praise God, somebody. Don't use foul or abusive language. This is just quite direct, all right? So please tell two people around you, don't. Foul and abusive language. You can't be a believer born again and foul language comes out of your mouth. You know, I'm taking my time to say these things because somebody can know how to explain how Christ died, how he was buried. For I walk, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Yo. And the person is still using foul language. I don't understand where you are. Do you understand? So I'm taking my time to spell out things for you guys. Because when you hear these things, it's a sign that this person is not yet there. Can't use foul or abusive languages. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be what? An encouragement to those who hear them. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
All right? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 10. Let's see the Message version. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 10. He says, let's read it together. One, two, go. Blockheads shouldn't live on easy street any more than workers should give orders to their boss. Some of you, they shame for this verse now. I don't know what's going on with you, but you're not responding well, appropriately. The way I expect to this verse. Blockheads. Okay, can we start with King James? Then we'll come back because I want to come back here. I know why I said message. So, luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. Then back to message. We must go back there. Blockheads. When you think the scripture is a scripture, is the compilation of words that are very nice. You see blockhead there, right? Blockheads shouldn't live on easy street any more than workers should give orders to their boss. I found out that a lot of people don't know how to talk to who pays them. A lot of people don't know how to relate with their bosses. You are working somewhere and you don't realize that you are being paid to do a job. And you confuse your office for the church. You see, what your boss is doing for you at the end of the month is not grace. It's a salary. Okay? It's not finished works of Christ. It is finished works of you. That's the work you finish. That's what he's paying you based on what you've done. So I found out that people in church don't know how to talk to their bosses. And they fire you and then you say, God is not faithful. Or you start to blame people. They are doing me from my village. Praise God. You must have wisdom. A lot of people are not employed today because of how they talk. Some people even talk more than their bosses. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Your boss calls you right now. You have started talking. You don't even know why he called you. You have talked and your talk has gone from... And the guy is overwhelmed by your abundance of words. Wow, you have a lot to say. You know, a lot of you must have that good discretion. Praise God. Know how to use your tongue. Know how to bridle your tongue. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Let's see Proverbs 21 verse 23. You know, we have two assignments tonight. We're going to start from somewhere, but Proverbs 21 verse 23. Watch your words, or whatever guards his mouth, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from what? From trouble. You keep your soul from trouble. I was listening to a clip, Pastor Chris Oyakilome, something he said on a clip, that when he started to say negative things about himself, he found himself going in a deep pit. And he couldn't come out of it. This was many years ago, 1981. And the moment it dawned on him, like the more he kept saying negative things about himself, the more he kept going down. The moment he said, I'm born again, I have the life of God. Greater is he that is in me that is in the world. Something snatched him from that deep pit and took him up. So you see, what you say about yourself, what you say is preserving your soul. You must know how to speak as a believer. Praise God, somebody. Don't talk who you are not outside of the new creation. You must know who you are in Christ. And you must speak from that place, who you are in Christ. Don't use situations to talk. Don't use your eyes to talk. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by what? Not by sight, not by what you feel, not by what you hear, not by what you see. Praise God. Don't even use joke to do it. Don't play with it. I don't use joke to give Satan, you know, a welcoming hand. I don't want to do it. Amen, somebody. Another scripture, Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes what? Health. The tongue of the wise promotes what? Health. You see? So you can promote your well-being just by what you say. You can keep your soul together just by what you say. If you feel weighed down, don't talk in manners that will make you worse. Speak yourself out of it. Praise God. So that is number 13. Better control of the tongue is one of the signs that someone is growing. Number 14, there will be an increased will to submit. There will be an increased will to submit. When you know someone is growing, the person will grow to a point whereby he is more submissive than he was. There's an increased will to what? To submit. Submission is part of your growing. Because, I give you an example. God puts order in the church. And he puts a level of control in the church. Because you can see Paul giving a lot of instructions. Control is not bad. There's nothing wrong with control. So I don't like when people control my life. Have you heard that kind of thing before? All right, so never be carried away by the abuse of things. Anybody who interprets things by its abuse is a mischievous person. Now, you know that there are leaders who are very mischievous that control people, right? That abuse people. Don't use that to judge your own experience. So it doesn't mean you should depreciate or devalue the place of control. Who wants to drive a car here that doesn't have control? I'm going to give you a car, but I'll take the brakes away. Why? Because I need you to move forward in life. Who wants a car, please? Who wants a car that doesn't have control? Who? Anybody? So control is important. Tell your neighbor, say, control is important. Sometimes you need to be controlled. And the way God does it is, he puts people in your life to control you. And there is nothing abusive about it. It's when the control is with a negative intent, that's when it becomes a problem. But control in itself is a blessing. It's a blessing. So you must find yourself under the control of leadership that God approves in your life. Praise God. There was a man who said in Benin, he used pidgin English to say it. I don't know how he said it. But this is what he said. I'm going to try. He said, car wey no get brake, jam car wey dey front. Even if not 20 kilometers per hour, the car they overspeed. So I don't know how he said it. But the idea is that is when car does not have brake, that's when you know the car to the run. Yeah. Eh? Do you get the idea? Now, normally when you have brakes in your car, or your brakes are working, 20 kilometers, is this speed? Kilometer per hour, is this speed? It's not speed now. It's just like you're moving like this. But by the time you get in front of car and it's still moving like that, that's when you know the car is really speeding. So I'm just trying to tell you that there is the need for what? Control. And the more you grow in the faith, the easier you become a person under control. The easier it becomes for you to submit. Okay? So please, listen to me with a balanced ear. Don't listen to me with fight or with what?
Bias.
With bias. Please, don't listen to me with bias. Because a lot of people will start bringing questions. So does it now mean? And that's not what I'm saying. The one you are asking, does it now mean, is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the leaderships that benefit your life. It is better to be under control of those leaderships. Praise God. Do you know that Paul in the Bible controlled how even church members should talk to one another? He even told them who to talk to and who not to talk to. Did you know that? He said, with some people, don't even eat with them. Is this not too much control, Pastor Phil? It's not too much. But you see, the more you grow in the faith, the more you understand. Praise God. So let me give you scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 13. It says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of God. Come on, talk to me. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of God. So you see, Paul is already addressing some questions that people always ask. See, I submit to God, but when it comes to man, I bow to no man. Have you heard those people? Have you heard those people before? I submit to God, but when it comes to God, I don't bow before any man. Nobody is asking to bow before any man. We're just saying submit to man. To submit to man does not mean you are worshiping man. No, it's not the same thing. Submission to man is not worship of man. In fact, your submission to man is for the Lord's sake. Whether to the king as what? Supreme. The Bible will not tell you, say the king, they're born again, no. Just to put you in check. Because some people don't like the scripture or don't like the pastor when he touches a sensitive part. It still is your business. Because this scripture will say the way it is. Look at this. It says, whether to king, as keep reading, verse 14, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. So that is why, let me tell you why we pray for leadership. We pray for leadership so that the administration of this purpose will be easy. It will be done, it will be accomplished, it will be fulfilled. That there is truly the punishment of evildoers and also for the praise of those who do good. Let's see if there's anything in the next verse. I doubt it. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of what? Foolish men. So it says, submit to governing authorities. Governing authorities. Let us look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. The more you grow in the faith, the increase, the likelihood you would increase your will to submit. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. This is talking about your spiritual leaders now, your pastor. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Do you understand? So it is important that we learn how to submit. See, submitting to your pastor is because your pastor will give account of you. Do you understand? Your pastor will give account of you. It's not a small job. It's not a small task. That is the reason why you submit yourself. For they give account of your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. You can't be under a pastor. And the pastor is he's using all the knowledge of the love of God he has to lead you. Are you the only one in the church? Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where the pastor has to use so much of wisdom. He has to employ wisdom. He has to even go through his notes on how to lead difficult followers just because of you. You know, one thing I made up my mind to do a long time ago, I will never be a problem to any leadership. You see, it's a decision I made when I was in school. I'll tell you why. It was my classmate who became the president of my fellowship. I was very close to him. I was very close to him. We're in the same class. I was senior to him in ranks with the former administration. I was a pastor. He was not even yet a pastor. So, out of wisdom of the head body, national body, they decided to make my pastor, I mean that my friend, the president, and me the vice president. So I made up my mind from that day that I will never be a problem to any leadership. Because there was a tendency to say, but I was before this guy. He was a cell leader. I was cell coordinator. You know, when you walk, maybe you understand these things. If you never really served God in school, you understand. I'm just playing. I beg, I'm not playing. If you never really served God in school, you will not understand. So back then, those were times that we learned ministry. Those were our Bible school moments. So we'll go from hostel to hostel where we have put leaders who are leading cells. And his cell was one of the cells that were under me, or that was under me. So I would walk, go around the cells to see how they are doing. And that person, my friend, became... And you know, God so did in such a way that my friend is such a good heart. You know, he never made it look like, you didn't say you passed me before. Now, the race is not to the swift, not the battle to the strong. You know how you start quoting scripture to cause problems? He never did that. In fact, he always wanted me to be in front. We were struggling who is seen. He would try to push me. I'll be like, no, you are the leader. When I start to talk, I talk his name so that the people are hearing I am amplifying his voice. That was how I learned how to pastor under someone who it seemed as though I was leading before. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I made up my mind a long time ago that I would never be a problem to any leadership. Even if I'm not even if I don't approve of the methods or I have a different opinion, I would never, as long as that leadership is there. Why is it that God bypassed you and chose him? Why? Why did God bypass that person and bypass you? You say you know, ba? With all the things where you know, God still bypass you. And God chose somebody. Praise God. So it's an honest decision I made. And ever since, I've run with it. That I will never be a problem to what? Any leadership. When I became president, he handed over to me. The first statement I made is that, and I meant it from my heart, that this dispensation is not to, how do I put it? But the idea is this dispensation is not to counter what the other has done, but it's a continuation. Because we work so much together that it had to be a continuation. And I was not intimidated to say it's a continuation. You know how leaders come after another leader and want to disprove what the former leader has done? Just to make you look good or to make you look better. I told the whole church. Fellowship then, we're clocking 600, 400. You know, it was a big fellowship in school. And I told the whole church, I said, this is a continuation of what my predecessor has done. And I always brought him to come and do one or two things. Just, I always try to push him. That is leadership. That's somebody who has good sense. In fact, that's someone who is secure. Anybody who cannot submit is insecure. Anybody who has submission problem is insecurity. Do you know that I enjoy submitting? You don't understand it. I enjoy saying yes, sir, to somebody. In fact, I miss it because a lot of times it's me, Nami, be the pastor here. But I miss it. Oh, I miss those days when I was under Bishop Wale. Phil, do this for me. And I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to run with it. I miss it. So many times I find myself putting myself in that place just to be sent. He would talk to me on the phone. I would allow him talk. I would tell him, this is what I'm teaching the people. And he would give me more insight. I'll be typing while he's talking. Then I'll come and teach you guys. I miss it. Sometimes I extrapolate my father's messages word for word as if I don't have inspiration. I take it word for word because I just enjoy being told what to do. That's growth. And there was never a time Jesus, because he was the Son of God, felt that he had come to the place where he and God now, you know, you day your day, I day my day. He never came to that point. In fact, what marked Jesus' leadership was that he was always submissive to the Father. Jesus' dependence grew as he got older. He was more dependent. It seemed as if his dependence was more. As if to say he didn't even know what to do as his life kept going. So there's nothing wrong with control. There is nothing wrong with submission. And women, please hear this. You know, when I want to see young ladies preach submission in this generation. Because it's somehow when only men are the ones saying it. As if to say the men are trying to take advantage. I want to see ladies who are talking submission from the Christocentric viewpoint. I really want to see it in this generation. You know, when you are talking about submission to your husband as Christ, you know, leads the church, as the church is submissive to, many women don't want to talk about submission. Many. Because of the abuse that has come with it. But I want you to be so balanced and so Christ-centered that you can talk submission from the viewpoint of what Christ has done. From what submission should really be. Amen. And that's why we're raising tears. And that's the reason why, before you marry, you should open your eye.
Yes, sir.
Don't marry somebody you can't submit to. So you too, you must what? Open your eyes. Because the moment you marry, you are, it's not a conversation. You submit. Praise God. And for the men would also lead. You see, I said this last week, Wednesday. Last week was 14th, right? February 14th. The men must lead as examples of how Christ leads the church. You know, there's a rising case of men not being able to provide for their families. And it has caused a lot of separation, a lot of divorce. You see, when a man doesn't know how to provide for his family, it might look as if it is okay. Maybe the wife is doing everything, paying the school fees, paying the house rent, paying the bills. And the man is happy, he's okay, he's comfortable. You are not a man. You are a problem. You are a boy. That's what it is. You are not a man. For this cause shall a man, not for a boy. For this cause shall a man leave his father's house and be not a boy. A man who doesn't have a sense of responsibility is not a man. Do you understand? You can't take care of yourself and then you want to take care of somebody. You're not being a man. You know, so it might seem okay for a time, but after a while, God knows why he says the men are the protectors. The men are the providers. God knows why. And I'm not saying all the time the men must earn always more than the wives. But you see, that contribution, that show of effort is important. Do you get? It's very important because there definitely will be times where maybe your wife has more money than you do. Maybe something you are expecting does not work out. And God has blessed your wife. There's no shame. You don't understand what I'm saying? Okay, maybe when you get married, you will. There's no shame in saying, listen, I can allow my wife to take the lead. Let me tell you what leadership is in the home. Leadership as a man is delegation. 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 So and the women must also be submissive to receive the delegation. Are you following what I'm saying? So, the man doesn't have to be the spearheader of the thing, but he can delegate it. He can tell his wife, you know better in this area. I am delegating this aspect to you. Lead us. Talk to me, somebody. So there is no problem. Come, you are becoming more alive. This is not relationship. When I was teaching the gospel, you were not. Anyway, I'm just playing. So love control. We must grow in submission. We must grow. When God puts different kinds of leaderships around us to grow us. Don't think you are going to have only one leadership in your life. Should I explain? Say, Pastor Phil, explain. I said, don't think you have only one kind of leadership in your life. There are some people who say, oh, the only leadership I respect is my dad. And you are married. I am married. The only leadership I respect in this life is my dad. That's wrong. Or the only leadership I respect is my husband. So let me give you balance. The most important leadership in your whole life is your husband. Not your pastor, not your dad, not your boss, but your husband. That's number, not your uncle, not your brother, but your husband. A lot of women are looking for their fathers in their husbands. A lot of women are looking for their brothers in their husbands. You for marry your brother. You for marry your dad. Some people are even looking for their bosses in their husbands. Your boss dressed up. He came to work. He dressed up. Did you see him when he was snoring? No. Did you see all the parts that his own wife deals with? No. You are seeing the perfect side of your boss. And you're saying, God, such a perfect gentleman. Because of the way he orders everything. You don't know. You don't even know his personal life at home. And that has become your model, your idea of man to you. So let me put it in perspective. The most important leadership for you as a lady is your husband. But that doesn't mean, listen to me, oh, that doesn't mean that there are no other leaderships over your life. Okay? So God places different leaderships. You go to an office, you may have a boss. Okay? That is a leadership God has placed in your life. You also have your parents. That is another kind of leadership. You have siblings. That is another kind of leadership. You have your church, your leaders in church is another kind of leadership. You have your pastor is another kind of leadership. So you see, as an individual, there are many kinds of leaderships that are placed in your life for the perfecting of your life. And when you learn how to deal with these leaderships by the wisdom of God, there is no way, quote me anywhere, there is no way you will not grow. There is no way you will not grow. And let me tell you something. Many times those leaderships are not perfect leaderships. But your ability to navigate them effectively is what makes you grow. Some of those leaderships may not even be born again. But your ability to navigate it and to pray and ask God to give you wisdom. So say with me, say, I would submit. I love to be controlled. There's nothing wrong with it. Then, the last one is correction. Correction. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17. Your ability to receive correction properly is a sign that you are growing better. You are growing in the faith. Your ability to receive correction. He who keeps instruction is the way of life. But he who refuses correction, what? Goes astray. Let me tell you something. Be honest with me. Is correction sweet all the time? If correction is sweet to you all the time, it'd be like, say, maybe you'll be Dundee. There is no time correction is always sweet. I mean, correction is not always sweet. That's what I'm trying to say. There are times where correction will come and it is so difficult to receive it. I don't like the way he corrects me. I prefer when Pastor Ike is correcting me than when Pastor Paul is correcting me. I prefer when it is Princess correcting me than when it is Wisdom. Let me tell you how to receive correction, because there's a word to those who are receiving the correction, and there's also a word to those who are doing the correction. It's two different things. Now, to those who are receiving the correction, your default disposition should be to just receive it, knowing that it will benefit you. For sometimes and many times, you may need to just blind yourself from the way it came, okay? And look at how it benefits you. If not, you might pick up offense. So just to save yourself all of that stress and drama, because you don't want additional drama in your heart, just take the correction and how it blesses you and what it will do for you. But a word to those who are doing the correction is also important, that when you're correcting people, you must correct in love. All right? But in the event that you are not being corrected in love, my dear, still just take it. Just take it. So I'm talking to you now, if you are in that place where you're receiving correction, learn to be that person who takes it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Learn to be that person who is not first of all looking for why are you correcting me in the first place? Who are you to correct me in the first place? You know, you have a long way to go. But someone who sits down to analyze what is said, okay, and analyze what is said objectively, and is looking at what is being said, and being objective and honest about where you are, and thinking about how it benefits you, is better that way. It's better that way. You know, many times it's very difficult to correct people who are very efficient. Because you are already in that place of delivering excellently. So when correction is brought, it seems like you are underappreciated. So you must avoid that, because you must learn to receive correction. Sometimes I just want to be corrected even if I have not done anything wrong. I'm just looking for correction. Because let me tell you why correction will help you. There's a way that's cemented right, but the end is what? Destruction. This statement is very true, because you may think you know what you are doing. Few years from now, you will realize that you don't know what you're doing. So you needed a leadership that will be honest with you to say, come, this is how to go. I'm telling you the truth. There is no time you are corrected about something that you have an equal wisdom, especially when you're wrong. You have equal wisdom with the person who is leading you. The person who is leading you knows better. So your submission to, your willingness to receive correction, is very important. It's a good attribute as a man, especially men, because men have ego. Ego, serious ego. But when a man knows how to receive correction, it's important. And then you talk of being a woman. It is something that builds, something that edifies you. It's something that makes you a better person. Amen, somebody. Amen. So let's go back to number one. Back to number one. I think I'm done with growing faith. We'll come back maybe towards the end of the year. Growing faith, we said you make better choices, right? It means your judgment will become sharp. You would decipher things correctly. Your sagacity, your wisdom will increase. Number two, you grow in your character. And we used Romans chapter 6, verse 21, that you've been delivered from the consequence and the power of sin. So your character must grow. Your character must grow. Then number three, we said, you have increased love for the things of God. You will need to be persuaded over the things of God. Praise God. You know, some of you are going to get so hungry for the things of God that you will look for what to do for God. You know, that's when I know you have gotten somewhere. You look for things. You look for what to do for God. What can I do for God? You know, I really want to, oh, praise God. You know, a time is going to come where some of you just call me and say, Pastor Phil, we want to do things for the church. Tell us the problems of the church. Let us settle at what, and you are in that capacity where you can really do it, just as long as it is the work of the Lord. You know, Pastor, is it a problem? Is it boss we need? Is it a land we need? Is it, let us settle all the problems. Praise God. And that person is going to be you. Amen. Say louder, amen.
Amen.
You know, Pastor, where next are we going? You saw the scripture Pastor Chibuzo read, where it says that we heard that your faith has sounded abroad all the way from, you know, Achaia, and it was sounded in every place. It means that when you're preaching the gospel, evangelism is place or location based. Where else are we taking for Jesus? Where else are we conquering? Pastor Faye, we need to invade the whole of Garaki for Jesus. And I'm available. I want to go out on evangelism. Praise God. On Friday, it's important that all of you come. On Friday, I'm going to be doing a special teaching on soul winning, because I want us to be active in sharing our faith. Okay? I want us to be what? Active in sharing our faith. That's your most important work. That's your most important work. I'll come to that. Number five or number four, embrace evangelism. We already said that. Number five, become a role model. All right, what you do must be a good example for others. Number six, you must develop hatred for sin. You must hate what is wrong. That's a sign that your faith is growing. You must hate it. Hate what is wrong. Don't just love what is good. Hate what is wrong. The number seven, persevere in adversity. You must be able to stand strong when things are not going well. Keep your faith in Christ all the time. Number eight, love for others. Number nine, slow to anger. You know, you can't have a temper problem as a new convert and you are 2 years in the faith. You still have temper issues. In fact, one of the signs that your faith is growing really is that your temper is affected. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. If temper is not dealt with, I can't really say you understand the gospel. Or something must have touched your heart. Praise God. You know? Say, Pastor, now so would they vex for our family when we vex like this, the whole place. No. And you know, some people make a boast out of it. Not play with my anger. Oh, I didn't know it's your anger. Not play with my anger, because if I vex, I'm a very nice person. But you see, once I... No. Gone are the days we talk like that. We don't talk like that anymore. Praise the Lord. Number 10, increase rest. The Lord increase your rest and joy and increase your peace in the name of Jesus. You have less fear, less worry. Number 12, you are less connected to the things of the world. Ooh, I love the scripture where Paul says, Galatians 6:14. Let's read that one. You know, Galatians 6:14. Look at it. It says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, ooh, read this with me, by whom and I to the world. Should I tell you what it means? It means that I don't find anything in the world attractive. And it also means the world doesn't find me attractive. Many of you just want to be attractive to the world. And you call it trending. Let me tell you something. You must accept that as a Christian, as a believer, you are already different. And you'll be hated for that difference. There is no attraction to the world, and I am not at. The world is not at. If the world sees me, the world will despise me. And it is okay. Because what I'm looking for is not what they are looking for. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Some of you have good rest of mind when you get there. All right? I'm happy we're done with this series. Then, number 13, better control of your tongue. Number 14, increase will to submit. Number 15, correction. Somebody say amen. And I pray that we would have testimonies that come as a result of our faith expanding and growing in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a big hand of praise. So we're done with, and please, there are more. It's not as if there are no more, but this is where we're going to stop for now. Now, looking at the work of Christ, stay with me, understanding the work of Christ. So I'm going to start, then I will pick up from Sunday. Understanding what? The work of Christ. I started teaching during the retreat, and I showed them what the gospel. Acts chapter 20 verse. This is a different subject entirely. Remember, you're in school tonight, so bear with me. Acts chapter 20 verse 24. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to what? To the gospel of the grace of Christ. So we said that the grace of Christ is expressed in different ways through the Apostle Paul, through Jesus himself and some of the disciples, and some of the phrases that describe what the gospel is, all right, are phrases like the gospel of God we see in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. So the word gospel, to bring clarity to someone here, the word gospel is the meaning of the word good news, or the meaning of the word gospel is good news. That's what I'm trying to say. Good news. And it also means nearly too good to be true. That's the meaning of the word gospel. So that word gospel was used back in those days. What is the gospel you bring? It was a common terminology used back in those days. But when you see the word gospel in the New Testament, it is specific to a particular message. All right? And I want every member of TSP to be grounded in this message, because you are going to preach this gospel. Now, hold up on this verse 24. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So what is the gospel called in verse 24? The grace of God. So the gospel is about what? The grace of God. So you can write this down. Acts chapter 20 verse 24. The gospel, which is good news, or a nearly too good to be true news, is defined as the grace of God. That is the meaning of the word gospel. It's defined as what? The grace of God. So I've heard a lot of people say in the body of Christ that I don't believe in the grace message, but I believe in the gospel. I've heard some people say it. I don't believe in the grace message. Just because you heard something a grace preacher said and has not brought clarity to your mind doesn't mean that the Bible is not articulate on what it defines as the grace of God. Because here, the grace of God is the gospel. Are you with me? Then we said in Romans chapter 1 verse 9 that this same gospel is the gospel of his son. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Very quickly, projection man. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Romans 1 verse 9. It is referred to as the gospel of his son. Gospel of his son. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So let's do, we're going to close in the next, I'm going to stop in the next 5 minutes. So, but try and catch me, please. We need to move very quickly. Let's do the gospel of the grace of God. That's Acts 20, 24, and the gospel of his son. So Acts 20, 24, which speaks of the gospel, which is the grace of God, shows you how the gospel is God's graciousness to mankind. God's graciousness to mankind. So the message we preach is the graciousness of God extended towards mankind by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel that we preach. It is also the same thing as the gospel of his son. That is the message the son has brought. So this graciousness extended to mankind we see in Acts 20:24. In Romans 1 verse 9, it is the gospel of his son. So you cannot talk about the grace of God or the gospel without connecting it to his son. It is the gospel of his son. The gospel of his son. The good news of his son. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God at sundry time in diverse manners spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but has in these last days spoken to us by his son. So what the son has brought is the message of the grace of God that we see in Acts 20:24. John chapter 1. Okay, go to verse 2 of this Hebrews chapter 1. Go to verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Now let's see John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was with God. Quickly. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and through him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that light shined in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Next verse. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, if you go back, it says, in the beginning was a word. The word word there is the word logos. In the beginning was the thought. Logos is also the word thought. It also means the word topic. In the beginning was the topic. Back to verse 1. In the beginning was the word, logos, topic. Conversation. In the beginning was the topic of God, and that topic was with God, and that topic was God. Then verse 14 says, and that topic became flesh, and that flesh dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the only Father, full of grace and truth. So it means that the topic of God from the start, from before the foundation of God, before the foundation of the world, was Christ. So that's why in Romans 1 verse 9, it is called the gospel of his son. Are you with me now? So you cannot connect. There is no preaching of the gospel outside of the son. Right? Because we are in a generation dispensation where people say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. There are many ways to God. Have you heard that before? Many ways to get to God. Hey, listen, there are no many ways to get to God. You know, some will tell you that my God is your God. It's just that we call him Allah. We call him Amadioha. We call him, there's another Yoruba one. Ogun, Shango. But all of it is the same God. There is no name under heaven by which men can be saved. So it is the gospel of his son. So when you say gospel and his son is in that message, then you are preaching the right message. So how can you listen to a wholesome teaching or a ministry is teaching and doesn't have a robust conversation of the son? That is not ministry. So back to what I said in the beginning. We're going to stop from here. Back to what I said from the beginning, that if your ministry is about coaching or about advice and there is no conversation of the son, it is not ministry. It is not the most important, the most vital aspect of ministry. It can never be, because the message of the son is the conversation of the gospel. Are you with me, somebody?
Yes, sir.
So don't be carried away by anything. Stay with the message of the gospel. And I will show you much later how the implication of this message affects your personal life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So you know, TSP is a well-taught church.
Yes, sir.
And by reason of your intelligence on the things of God, many of you will hear messages and realize the gospel is not in this one. The gospel is not in this one. That's why Paul said, if an angel comes from heaven and preaches to you another gospel, let him be anathema. That's where you see curse. One of the only times in the scripture, in the New Testament, where you see curse. He said, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:6. That someone comes from heaven and preaches another gospel. That is, the message is not about his son. And it is church that is supposed to be ground and pillar of the truth. Because when we say truth, truth is Christ. I marvel that you are so soon turned away from him. So you are not just turned away from a message. You are turned away from a person. When you reject the gospel, you are rejecting a person. That's why it says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. So this one now is showing you that the gospel is called the grace of Christ. You know, Acts 20:24 is the grace of God. Then Galatians 1:6, grace of Christ. Then Romans 1:9, the gospel of his son. Just giving you perspective. You see what I'm saying? So, you must be well defined on what our message is, well instructed on what our message is, what our message delivers, what it says to people, and what the gospel is not saying to people. Praise God, somebody. Philemon, last scripture. Philemon 1:6, NIV version. We're going to pray this in light of what we'll do on Friday. Philemon 1:6. So let's read it together. I want to go. So there are many, there's another NIV, right? That says, let me read it from what I wrote down here. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. That's another NIV, okay? But this one says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for Christ. So this is not as simple as this other translation of NIT or NIV. Let me read mine here. It says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a powerful understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So we're going to pray right now that we'll be active in sharing our faith. I have a mandate. Can I just stand on your feet, everybody? Let's be upstanding. I have a mandate for all of you. And that mandate is, we are going to win souls. Okay? One person per soul. One person per what? Per soul. One person per soul. And I gave an instruction that should happen from Sunday to today. So you have won your soul. Let me see your hands. You preach. Okay, let me put it this way. You preach the gospel to someone between Sunday and today. Let me see your hands. You know what? First, sit down. Let me address those who are not lifting their hands. Sit down first. Everybody, sit down. You did not preach. Please, if you did not hear the instruction I gave on Sunday, you are exempted from this. But I'm talking to the leaders and the workers. You did not preach or witness to anybody between Sunday and Wednesday. Stand up. And you heard the instruction. You heard the word that I gave. If you did not hear it, you can sit down. If you are not in that meeting, you can sit down. But if you were in that meeting on Sunday morning, and I asked us to witness the gospel to somebody between Sunday and Wednesday, if you sit down and you did not do it, and you are sitting down, that chair you are sitting down... I pray that chair becomes active. So, don't lie in the house of God. Now, so listen to me. Those of you who are standing, it is not good example. Okay? Because once a word is given, you go with the word. I gave a word, I gave an instruction, and there is grace backing this instruction. So I want everybody in the house to win a soul. Now everybody sitting, stand up. Please stand up. Thank you. I want everybody, somebody say everybody. We're one person per soul. You're going to talk to someone, preach the gospel to the person. I'm not saying preach the gospel to somebody who is already born again. Somebody who is not born again. You know the person has not received Christ. Preach the gospel to that person. Then bring the person to church on Sunday. That's the assignment I'm giving all of us. Say, I receive grace. Let me tell you something. It is when you start to do it, that's when you will know how much you are growing. Because your growth is not only in information. Your growth is in instruction. Your growth is in activity. That's when you grow. Who becomes a good footballer by just being in a classroom? No. Who becomes a good doctor by just being in the classroom? You have to go out, talk to patients. They called it clerking. In our 300 level, 400 level, they introduced us to clerking. We talk to real patients. You see? So it is the same way when it says, go out and make disciples of all nations. You don't do that by just reading your Bible and telling yourself, I will go, I will go. Evangelism is best learned when you go. That's how you grow. So I'm telling you now, with all that you have learned about the gospel, go and share it with somebody. Say with me, say, I receive grace.
I receive grace.
And I pray that you have outstanding results.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word that has come. Please hold the hands of your neighbor. We're closing. We'll take the offering and then we'll take first timers. But I want to pray with you. Father, I pray for everyone who is here tonight that they become active in sharing their faith.
Amen.
They would have a deep understanding of the gospel. This grace that we have received in Christ, may somebody find this message through us. For who has believed our report and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Lord, I pray that people will believe this report from our mouth in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you hear us. And Lord, let this series, Understanding the Work of Christ, be a blessing to your children. As we go into it week by week, Wednesdays, Sundays, open our hearts to revelation. For in Jesus' name we pray.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.